what God can do. It takes a village of people, a community of people. And we all have our place in it. And did you hear what she said at the end? She wants to help others. So we'll be talking about that here in the future. We'll be talking about that in the future. It's good to see all of you here this morning. It's good to see all of you up in the balcony today. It's good to see the Radosoviches here. It's good to see. We have a board member here. That's Rob Hooker. He's part of our ministry board. Rob, right there in the middle. His wife Tammy. Yep. And me and Rob went to the same church many years ago in the 70s. I knew his brother. Rob was a little older than me, so he was in that next group up, and I think I was in the youth group. So there you go. Okay. All right. Well, it's good to see all of you here. Good to see my brother-in-law and sister-in-law here, and then Heather's guests and families here, and all of you. But we're living in a time when hope seems to be hard to find for many people. Where people are struggling to try to figure out how to live life and how to do life and how to get up in the morning and really what is the purpose of even getting up. And no, they don't trust the media, they don't trust people, not sure if their jobs are going to be there, not sure where our country is, people's faith are wavering, people don't know what's going on with their kids. Suicide rates are up, drug use is up, prisons and county jails are all over full. Our country's in a mess. We're in a mess. But I want to tell you, it's not a counseling that's going to get it all fixed up. It's not a one good preaching that's going to get it fixed up. It is by the Word of God. It is coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ and keeping it real, making that real deal in your heart, making your salvation working out, as the Bible says, work out your salvation. Keep working it on a regular basis. One of the hardest writers in the Bible, I think, is Peter. Peter's tough. And we're going to go into those hard parts today a little bit. But also, I just want to remind you today that there is only one hope, and His name is Jesus Christ. And you're going to hear it from here. You're going to hear it from this pulpit all the time. You're going to hear it in groups and classes, that Jesus is the only hope, because why? It is the truth. It is the truth. And we've seen today that the Lord can change a person. You know, on the coin that we give, there was a plaque that we read, her graduation certificate, but there's also a coin that you don't get to see. That coin, they finally made this coin in color, and I love it because it's a butterfly. And it's, if you want to look at it, she'll let you see it, but it's a huge butterfly on there. Serenity prayers on the back for those with addictions, but on the front is a butterfly. When I first saw that, I said, that's a Women's Life House. That's part of their graduation. Because when you come in almost like a caterpillar. You're on the ground. You're living in the dirt and the dust of the land. But then when you get with the Lord, He kind of brings you up, wraps you in that cocoon. And you got to spend time there. It was 7 months. But that's just with us. There was other times that God was doing the work in the prison, those kind of things, with Heather. But when it's time to burst out, you're not the same. You're not crawling on the ground. You're actually flying. And a butterfly is beautiful. Heather, you're beautiful. Because what God has done with you and what you allowed God to do with you. And I think Peter wants to say the same thing. First Peter, in chapter 1, we're going to go through some scripture today. Hopefully it encourages you and it strengthens you in your walk with the Lord, because I tell you, it does me. I don't think we really truly understand what God has given to us in His Word and what He's given to us as believers. Don't take God's salvation for granted. Please don't do that. It's so awesome to experience the power of salvation. Okay? I have a saying that I say, knowing about God is different than knowing God. Knowing about Jesus is different than knowing Jesus. Knowing about salvation is different than having it. But also, experiencing your salvation is different than having it. Experiencing your salvation is letting God work through you, your salvation, and as you serve. And in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were once dead, separated from God, but through Christ and His resurrection, we have a new birth. Now, we can't go back into the womb, but we have a spiritual birth. I'm not the same person I was before I came to Christ. You are not the same person you are today as you was before you came to Christ. But it's by God's mercy. It's not something that you do, but it's by God's great mercy that you are able to obtain and have salvation. But it is of a new birth that Christ gives to us, and it's a living hope. That's why I can walk around, and now hopefully you can, I can not just know the Scriptures, but experience as much as I can with the power of the Scriptures, that I can walk around knowing, not that I have a living hope, but that I'm experiencing that living hope. That I can walk every day knowing all the things that we just mentioned that are going around me, I have a hope that's different than the rest of the world. That hope is only in Jesus Christ, not myself, because myself will fall apart. Not in the church, because churches rise and fall, open and close. But in Jesus Christ, solid foundation. He's the solid foundation. My hope is in Him. It's not in anything else but in Him, because it's an eternal hope. It's a lasting hope. But He doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 4. He says, into an inheritance. This is what I love about the Lord. The Lord just didn't save you. There's a whole bunch that comes. There's a train that comes right behind it. There's a train that comes behind your salvation. But you don't know what it is because you have to get salvation first. And once you get that salvation, then the other things begin to open up to you. And we see this into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. There is an inheritance that's following you and in front of you and a part of you right now. And then there's an inheritance that's in front of us that we're going for. There's an inheritance that's in us. That's the Holy Spirit. But also that's kept in heaven. We're longing for that. There's an inheritance for you. And let me tell you, if you ever got an inheritance from anybody in your family, it has nothing compared to the inheritance that God has for you. God is awesome. Listen, start fixing your eyes on Jesus and not on the things around you. Deal with what's around you, but fix that with Jesus. I'm telling you, hope will start to rise up in your heart and in yourself. And you won't feel so defeated. Too many Christians look defeated. And we should not be looking defeated. Right now we should be prime time, if you want to say it that way, if you're a sports player, you want to be prime time right now in that Christian walk, because the world is not looking so good. They're looking for a hope, and you can walk around, and not in a prideful way, but your shoulders, you don't have to walk around all bent over and sad and just doom and gloom. You ought to be excited, because you have an inheritance. Your hope is in Christ. You have that salvation, it is real. And this is only momentarily. Enjoy it. Life is a gift that God gave it to us. But don't put everything in it. Because the inheritance, it don't spoil. It don't rot. It's forever. But he says in verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. It's all about God. We have what we have because of God. Our protection is shielded. We are shielded from all this. We are shielded by God. There is no other power bigger than God's. Listen, when you start slipping in your walk a little bit, maybe in your thought pattern, what's going on in the world, listen, go back to Genesis chapter 1. Look who created it all. Go back to the basics. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. It'll set that emotional roller coaster down and calm it down into a nice, smooth run. God's got this. If He created all this, He's got this. God's good. Don't get so irate. Don't get so upset about what's going on. God's shielding us. How is it that so many Christians can walk around during this time of inconvenience? There's a lot of other words the world is using. Yet as a Christian, I feel more empowered today than I did last year. Why is that? How can you feel more empowered today than you did last year before this whole thing started? Because of God. That's it. Because of God. Letting Him rule in the life. Let Him flow in the life, in the bloodstream of your hands and your fingers and your mouth and your feet and what you do and how you live. We're shielded by God's power. Verse 8 says, though you have not seen Him, here we go. I love this. Though you not have seen Him, yeah, I haven't seen Him, but I believe in Him, right? Though I have not seen Him, He says, you love Him. How can you love someone you haven't seen? Luke 1:37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. God gives us a way to love Him. It's a spiritual thing. It's a powerful thing. I've seen God move in my life so many times, and you have too. I've seen Him move in this church. We know that He is there. We have not seen Him, yet we love Him. Y'all love Him today? I love Him today. I love Him today. But He also says, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You can't have that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and it's not where it needs to be, I want to tell you, you don't feel this as much. You're teeter-tottering back and forth because your walk with the Lord is not where it needs to be. I think God is calling a lot of His people closer to Him during this time. This is time we can get closer to Him. How many of y'all's prayer life has went up since we went through this? How many of y'all's reading of the Word has went up through this? And if persecution comes, it'll even go higher. And the church was doing awesome. It was right there in the book of Acts. Not that we didn't have spells of great times and errors, but we'd have great times. But man, the church was on fire. It was doing great under persecution. It's a wake-up call when we go through these things. It's a wake-up call. It's a self-expression. Look in the mirror. What's going on? But don't ask yourself. Ask the Lord. Because you'll lie to yourself. I'll lie to myself. Some of us look in the mirror and we say, man, you're good looking. Ask the Lord those questions, all right? Because He can give you the truth. Right? And the Bible says the truth will set you free. Let the Lord speak into your life. Quit trying to speak into God's life and let Him speak into your life. Because listen, you are not going to con God thinking your sin is okay because it's you, but not okay for someone else. Quit trying to get Him to be on your bandwagon. You need to be on His wagon. Your wagon will falter. He's not going to jump on that. He's calling you to come to Him. The Bible says, come unto Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus has come unto Me. I'm not coming to you. You need to come to Him. And as Christians, if we want to have this peace and this joyful and expression of Him and knowing that we haven't seen Him, but we love Him, that's us coming to Him. That's us coming to Him. But then He moves on in verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, I want to camp here just for a minute. Our minds are being pushed. So much is being pushed into our minds by media, cell phones, all kinds of stuff. I mean, just things we see. Our mind is complexed. No one can read my mind. Ask my wife. But I can't read your mind. Well, God can. And the scriptures here are telling us that with our minds we are to be alert and fully sober. We, in our country, we're trying to make marijuana legal. We're doing it all over the place. I'm telling you this. Your mind is not sober when you got stuff in your head. You're not sober. We need to be alert and sober. Be wise. I don't need the things of the world to make me feel good. And that's what people are chasing. You don't have to do that. He tells us as Christians, we need, in our minds, we need to be alert and sober. Which means if I don't like a political position or I don't like a political person or whatever, I need to be looking at it different than the rest of the world does. I don't need to say I hate them. I don't say that they make me. I don't have to do all the derogatory things. I need to take a step back and pray about my heart and my spirit. And then I need to be praying for them, asking for God's will in their life, asking God that their salvation would come upon them, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that their lives might be changed eternally, not just what we want for the moment. We need to be alert and fully sober. Fully sober. Basically, God is saying Christians need to be always awake spiritually, or you're going to fall. You know what? I've seen so many Christians. Some have been here. Some have been to other churches I've been to. Some have just been. And they fall into a side road. They get lured. They fall astray by something that they've heard. It's something that they are starting to believe. And their belief in God begins to change. And they start allowing all these other things. And the more you allow all these other things, there's only so much room inside yourself. We're supposed to be filled up with the Lord, but when we start putting things in the world and all the mindsets and all the philosophies of the world, we're pushing something else out. And what we're pushing now is we're pushing the Lord out. Our eyes get, our minds and our ears get itchy to hear something new. Scripture tells us with our minds we are to be alert and fully sober. Always having the Lord upon our hearts. Listen, when you make decisions, ask the Lord to be a part of your decision making. Not just when you're in trouble. Even the smallest things, let Him be a part of that. He says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. We don't want to be embarrassed when He's coming. If you are a believer in Christ, you know that He's coming again. And if He's not coming in your lifetime, you're going to Him. And we want to hear, well done, good, done, faithful servant. We want to hear that. We want to hear that we've done good here. We want to hear that. We don't want to be an embarrassment. I don't want to be an embarrassment to the Lord. I've got to make sure I'm right with Him. He says, as obedient children, that's what we are. We're children. God is our Father. We're supposed to be obedient. I'm asking you right now. I'm asking you, are you obedient to God? Just asking, are you being obedient to Him? Think about it. He's calling us children. Think about when your children, you were raising up your children, and your children did not, they disobeyed you. How did you treat them? God's got a lot of mercy, but remember, God also judges, also God disciplines those whom He loves. But He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. We're not to go backwards. So Heather, the challenge is you don't go backwards now. You're done with that. That's over. That's your testimony. Now you go forward. And let me tell you something. You don't lead people to Jesus by going backwards. That's where Jesus pulled you out of. That's where you mentioned. You don't go backwards. You stay in the present. You go forward. We don't go backwards living that sinful lifestyle. Listen, you don't do that. We're not called to do that. Why? He says, but as He has called you who is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That is one of the most difficult scriptures that we can really start wrapping our head around, because we don't understand what 100% perfect holiness is. What we know is holiness is God. But He calls us to be holy in all that we do. Yet we know that in our walk we're in the flesh, that we're going to stumble from time to time. Amen. We're going to do that. We're not going to have the best thoughts about our brothers and sisters. We're going to say some things that are pretty stupid. We're going to say some things that aren't right with the Lord. We're going to do some things that we know that are sin. And we're going to willfully do some of those things. Amen. But He tells us to be holy. How can I do all that? Well, I can't do it because, on my own. But also know, for I can do all things through Christ. He strengthens me. So I know, what is that saying? I know I can't do it, so what does that mean? I need to spend more time with the Lord. I need to let the Lord be a part of my decision making. I need to let the Lord be a part of my life. And as a Christian, when we mess up and we sin before God, what do? If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. I'm to go to Him, and I'm to ask for forgiveness and repent and get my heart right with the Lord. Now, let me just tell you, when you're getting your heart right with the Lord, it isn't all about you talking. Because when you come to the Lord, yeah, you confess it, but He already knows what you did. Spend some quiet time together. Let Him work. Let Him speak to you. Because God's not just a great listener. He's also a great speaker. And God has a lot to say. And He wants to speak to you. Be holy, He says. Live holy. I don't know how to do it. Quit trying to look for you're going to get there today. But let me tell you, the closer you are to Jesus, the more you keep pushing it, the more you keep doing it. Listen, you're going to sin less as a Christian. You're going to draw closer to God as a Christian. That inheritance will be holy. We're a holy people right now, but to be in our actions and everything, once we get to heaven, we'll be there. But God calls us a holy people. And we need to live that. So he says this, since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in a reverent fear. Two things. One, here, we are foreigners in a foreign land. This is not my home. I'm only passing through. It's not my home. It's not where I'm going to live eternally. I'm just passing through. Now, I've said this before. I'm closer to my death than I am my birth. That's a little wake-up call for you that are over 50. All right. So, we're closer to meeting Jesus than we were our birth. Praise the Lord. I like that. Let me ask you a side note. How many of y'all can't wait to see? How many of y'all look forward to seeing Jesus? I mean, just really look forward to seeing Him. Letting Him look at you with His eyes. Connecting to your eyes, and you interlock them. I'm going to tell you, He don't have to say nothing. He's not going to have to say anything. Just the piercing of His presence is just going to just warm us. Now, for those who don't know Christ, you know where I'm going, right? It's going to be the worst, most horrible moment. All regret. It's just not going to be good. But for us, we're foreigners living in a foreign land, and we're going to move. We're moving on. We're getting closer to getting home. Journey's getting closer, okay? It's okay. It's good. But he also says, reverent fear. There is a fear of the Lord that we all need to have. Now, as a lost person, we fear the Lord because I've heard people say, come into this church and the church walls will fall down. No, they don't. They never have. Sometimes it looks like it. But that's not the fear we're talking about. Now, how many of y'all have been walking with Jesus for over 20 years? I want to see some hands. I'm walking around. Now, you're going to get what I'm going to say, okay? It takes time for this, okay? The fear of the Lord I'm talking about, I believe He's talking about, is this. You just might, when you don't have the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord really is that God just might take His hands off of you. God just might take His blessed hand off. And we've seen that through many stories in the Old Testament. Fear of the Lord. We as believers should have a fear of the Lord. Not that we're scared He's going to strike us down, but that He just might take His blessed hand off of us. All that mercy, all that grace, all those blessings. Verse 17, since you were called on a Father who judges impartially. We read that in verse 18. For you know that it was not with the perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. Listen, I don't understand why God sent Jesus 100%. Because I want to love everybody that way. But there comes a moment where my love is cut off. I know it is. I only have so much. But I'm telling you, God's love is different. And praise God, His love is different. That He did send Jesus Christ. And here's what He did. He didn't come down just to do miracles. Or teach or preach. And heal. And cast out demons. He came down to redeem. Redeem that which was lost. And every one of us, before we were Christ, knew Christ, we were lost. And his precious blood that He spilt was for our redemption. This is why a man can't stand, a woman can't stand before God and Christ and say that they deserve heaven when they have not received and received that salvation and took hold of the gift of the precious blood of Jesus. Because it says it's not just the blood of Jesus, it's the precious blood of Jesus. Nothing on earth could take care, nothing on the universe, nothing in the galaxies or anywhere could redeem a lost soul. But only by the precious blood of Jesus. And He had to spill it. You ever want to get enlightened about your walk with the Lord? Genesis chapter 1 doesn't do it for you. Read the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And don't forget the flogging. And the pulling out of His beard. And the punching. And all this bad stuff. And He never quit. Because He knew that He was the only one that could redeem a life. Could have called down 10,000 angels. Could have went back home. Said, it's not worth it. They're not worth it. But He didn't. He said, it is finished. Verse 21, though, through Him you believe in God. Who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. My faith today, I hope that your faith today and your hope is in none other than in Jesus Christ. How was it all fueled? How was all this fueled? The Bible said, for God so loved the world. It started right there. Let me tell you something. God loves people. He didn't say He likes anything else. When He created everything, He said it was all good, but something about people. He loves people. And He loves people right where they are, but He loves them enough not to leave them there and to call them into a relationship with Jesus so that they might be redeemed. And some of you today may need salvation. Maybe you need that redemption so that you will have a redemption story and you will have an inheritance. But there's no inheritance, not a godly inheritance, for anyone that doesn't know Christ. For that is only for the children of God, for the family of God. But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and it's been twisted over some time and you've strayed and fallen away, I'm telling you, He loves you right where you're at, but He loves you enough not to leave you there, and He wants to draw you closer. And listen to me, look at me. You and Him's got something to talk about. I lived in Germany for 3 years. When that phone rang in the middle of the night, it was important. Most of the time, anybody that calls you after midnight, it's not a good call. But when you're living across the world, that call you get in the midnight is daylight across the other side of the world. And I knew it was either going to be my parents calling me, and I was looking forward to it. Or it was my grandmother calling me, and I was looking forward to it. And I love those phone calls. But on that phone, there was a little clicker. Every time it clicked, it was pennies and pennies and nickels and dimes. I mean, they were just, you paid for local calls over there. But I didn't care. because I knew who was on the other end of that receiver calling me. I think God is calling some of us. And we know who's calling. But because we know who's calling, we're afraid to pick it up. We know it's a loving voice. We know that. We know it's the voice we want to hear. But there's some things in our life that we're kind of ashamed of. I'm here to tell you today that that phone is ringing in some of your lives this morning. And you're going to get a chance to answer it. Ring. Ring. It's silent right now, but that ringing is going on in some of your hearts. Let's go ahead and stand. This altar is open for you and myself and anyone that is here.